Are we going to have fun today on More Faith, More Life podcast? You bet we are, because I'm going to talk about tithing secrets and the secrets that nobody teaches in the church today. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another More Faith, More Life podcast. We are going to have fun today. We're going to talk about a lot of subjects on tithing and a lot of things about that because people don't know anything about it. And what triggered it was Producer Zion sitting over here. We talked a little bit yesterday. He said, what do you want to do on the podcast? What's the direction? We talked about it, different things. And then got home, and I was on my phone doing something. And this guy comes on, and he's really ranting about, it's a pretty good long rant, about a lot of things in the church, a lot of things he didn't like. And he was, you know, said he was on staff at a church once, but anyway, but he really hit the tithing. He just, you know, he just was so upset, like tithing, and he came right out and said, tithing is a lie. And so, you know, that's a pretty strong statement to say that something that I and us think we're doing scripturally and we have reasons to do that, it's a lie. Well, a lie means either it's not in there and we've made it up, or it's in there and he's missed it and he's lying because he's just deceived. Okay, so, and there's millions of others. Tithing is such a great subject to talk about. And it's funny how people really don't know anything about it in the New Testament. Now I'm going to clear up, so that's why it's called Tithing Secrets. Now, let me say this, some logic about it. Like, he did this whole long thing about tithing, but did you know only, if the statistics are right, only 3-5% of churchgoers tithe. So if you want to rant and rant and rant and rant on tithing, you're really wasting your talent on 3% of church people, or maybe even 5%. So you know what? If you don't like tithing, I wouldn't even worry about it. There are not that many people doing it. But if you want to know the secrets of it and why it's important, and is it scriptural or is it not, I'm going to give you some great points, and I'm surprised and shocked sometimes that we don't teach this more. I don't hear it taught, even in churches that believe in tithing. They always go back to the Old Testament when in Malachi, when bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, that still has somewhat valid because of the promise, not because of the law, like you have to tithe, but the promise is God wants to bless you and open the windows of heaven and all that kind of stuff. But nobody knows anything hardly about New Testament tithing, and that's what I'm going to tell you, the tithing secrets today. All right, so let's get started. First of all, remember the teachers of the law and Pharisees came to trap Jesus, and they said, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Now, it was to trap him, because if he said yes, then he's loyal to Caesar, and if he says no, then he's a rebel to Caesar, you know, and somebody will get mad. But he gives this remarkable answer that we kind of skip over. First, so he says, all right, so give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And he had him show him a coin, and it had the picture of Caesar on it. And so give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Well, they also had temple coins that didn't have his picture on it. There were other coins available. But the remarkable line is the next one. He says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. Now let's go to all the New Testament folks going to church and say, listen, I just want you to tell me what that means. You know what it means to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, because I'm a taxpayer. I understand it. As a citizen of the United States, I want to support our country. And that's how they do it, by taxing. All right? Okay, I get it. But when it says, but give to God what belongs to God, can you name what is that? What belongs to God that you're supposed to give? He said, do it. Give to God what belongs to God. Well, they're talking about money. They're talking about taxes. They're talking about finances. And so the funny thing about it is, when you ask people that question, say, okay, what does it mean to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar? They say, yeah, they're talking about taxes and pay Rome taxes and all that. Then say, okay, now, what does it mean to give to God what belongs to God? Tell me what in your life belongs to God. And now we blank out, unless maybe you are a tither. Now, you do know tithing means 10%, 10%, okay? Keep that in mind. Now, I've heard it twisted all the way around that tithing is not 10% anymore. Now it's 5% or whatever. You know, people dance around it all they want to, but that's what it means. It's 10%. So, in other words, if he says, give to God what belongs to God, did you know what? something you have belongs to God, or something belongs to God. Would you agree with that? Something belongs to God. In this case, it was taxes, money, finances. Okay, so I like that. Now, when you get to talk about tithing with New Testament Christians, people going to church today, that's quite a battle because there's deception involved. Because first of all, people who love money don't love tithing because it's a set amount. And they want to be a free-for-all. I want to give what I want to give. Well, check it out. You'll find out a lot of them don't give at all, and some give whenever they feel like it. They like the whatever I feel like it gospel, right? But the root of it is a lot of, it's not the only thing. But people who love money are not good tithers, right? And that makes sense. Because money is a master, and money tells you what it wants to do. It's a master. It's not just a thing, you know. But then there's the other side of it where I hear this a lot. Well, churches just want your money. And then they talk about preachers, multi-million dollar, billion dollar or whatever, preachers who all they want is your money. All that. Okay. Yeah, that's probably true with some of them also. But it doesn't change the fact that the church isn't just after your money. The church runs like the citizens of the heaven, citizens of the church, citizens of heaven. Follow the example, and we want to support our churches. We want to support the kingdom of God, just like I support our government, right? Okay, so you got some problems, some deceptions there. All right, now, but what's the biggest deception? It might be the money loving, or you know, the church just wants your money. But what's the biggest deception on tithing? It's this. Tithing is Old Testament law, and we are no longer under the law. Got it? Well, is there truth to that? Absolutely. Because you know what? Tithing is Old Testament law. But tithing is not just Old Testament law, because if you get rid and you say, well, we're not under the law anymore, okay, we're under grace or whatever, we're not under the law anymore, but we are under the New Testament. So if I could find tithing in the New Testament, we would no longer be under the law. It's New Testament, right? And so then they say, well, we're not under the law to tithe under the law, but do we tithe in another way due to the New Testament? Well, that's where the church, preachers, teachers often fall short, because they know nothing, or they appear to know nothing, about what the New Testament says. Okay, now get this. So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, who obviously were still law people, and he says, woe to you Pharisees and teachers of the law, right? He says, you tithe off, well, it was spices, he named these spices. You tithe off these spices. And he said, you know what? These things that you should do. You should do it. You tithe off of spices or whatever you're tithing off of. This is what you should do. But the problem is not that the tithe is going to solve anything. Keep tithing, but he said, but you ignore the weightier things of the law. So not everything weighs the same in the kingdom of God, right? And so he wanted, you know, justice and freedom and love and all those things that he's talking about. So the interesting thing about it is he doesn't tell them, oh, don't worry about tithing anymore. Just do the weightier things. Just love people or try to be a good person. He didn't say that. He said, these things, you're tithers. He said, you should do that. All right. It's in the New Testament. Okay. You may say, well, that's still Old Testament law, because he's talking to Old Testament law people. Okay. All right. Maybe. But keep going here. These things you should do. Now, when you get over to the great book of Hebrews, and chapter 7, that's where everybody who wants to show tithing should go and really understand, especially chapter 7. And so it tells a story about a fellow named Melchizedek, clear back, way back in the days. He was the king of Salem, and way back in the days of Abraham. And they meet each other, and Abraham defeats his army and all that. But Abraham then tithes to Melchizedek, the king. Now, what the Bible says there in chapter 7 is, it's saying, do you realize that Abraham was before the law? So before the law came through Moses, tithing was already in operation. It was not a law. It's not a law thing. It was before the law thing and picked up by the law also. Okay. So he said, an important thing. It says, so the lesser blesses the greater. And Melchizedek was considered the king of Salem. He was the greater. So Abraham goes as the lesser and tithes to the greater. That's before the law. Now, I can live on that all by myself, no help at all. I don't even need any other scripture. You know why? Because Jesus is the greater. And if Abraham would tithe to the greater, and I want to, and the Bible says that I'm the seed of Abraham. Did you know that? Yeah, I'm the seed of, you are too, if you're a believer. Well, then I want to follow that pattern, and I'm going to tithe to the greater. And the greater is now not Melchizedek. It's Jesus. And how do I know that? Because right in that same chapter it says, Jesus is a priest. He's the Savior, yeah, but he's also a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, why is that important? Well, if he's a priest, he has started something new. In fact, we could even call it New Testament. Because, see, the Old Testament law, yeah, there was tithing, but that was after the priesthood of Levi, okay? But now it says that priesthood is no longer in effect, that we have a new high priest, and his name is Jesus, and he is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he says the unusual thing about it is Levi, or the tribe of Levi was that, but Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And it says, I'm telling you what it says, short form here, that there'd never been a priest. There was never a priest appointed from the tribe of Judah to be the high priest. So Jesus is the first and only high priest from the tribe of Judah, okay? So now we have a high priest, and that's what it talks of before in the Old Testament. They gave tithes to the high priest and all that, and they sacrificed to him. Okay, but now we know that that's not in effect because there's a new priest. There's a new priest on hand, right? And his name is Jesus. And he's a priest forever. Now, get this. It says, those other priests, what are we talking about? Old Testament law. Where people that say, well, that's Old Testament. Tithing is Old Testament. We're not under Old Testament. That's right, because it says, all those priests died. So we can't keep that thing going. But he says, but Jesus is a priest forever. On what? On what? On what thing? Based on an indestructible life. Indestructible life. How powerful is that? So now we got a really powerful, powerful high priest. It's very clear. If you're starting to argue in your brain, just turn to read it yourself and read it and read it. If you're still getting confused, go get a real simple Bible, like the Message or something, or, you know, something that's real easy to understand. And it'll spell it out for you. Okay, so he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's a new kind of priest, okay? Now what does it say? Now, go back to the Old Testament priest where they, well, tithing's Old Testament, we don't do that, we're not under the law. Okay, so it says under that part, which you're right in that part, it says in the one case, okay, I'm going to hold up one finger, in the one case, the 10%, and it says 10%. The 10% tithe was given to men, meaning the high priest or the priest then. In one case, you know, if you say one case, are you pretty sure there's going to be a second case? Nobody ever says in one case, that's the only case. Okay. In one case, 10% is paid by men to priests who die. Okay. That's the case that everybody's arguing. Well, that ended with the Old Testament. That ended with the law. That, yeah, you're absolutely right, but you missed the second case. Now listen, in one case, 10% is paid to men who die. In the other case, oh, there's two cases. That's where we're missing it. That's where a rant is not going to help you say that's Old Testament. That's just people wanting money. Tithing is not for today. Tithing is a lie. Well, then is this a lie? Okay. In the one case, 10% is paid to men who die. In the other case, it is paid by him to him who is declared to be living. In the one case, it's paid to men who die, but that's where they say that's Old Testament. Okay. But in the other case, it's paid to him who lives forever. Who's that? Who is the one who lives forever? It's an indestructible life. It's not you. It's not the priest after the order of Levi, right? It's not Old Testament law. Who is the one that lives forever and indestructible life? It's Jesus. Now listen again what it says. In the one case, 10% is paid to men who die. Okay, we'll shove that one aside, just like the rant said. Ranting went on. But it says, in the other case. Well, how come he didn't bring up the other case? It is given to him, the 10%, it's right there, is given to him who is declared to be living forever. Who collected the tithe in the Old Testament law? The high priest, the priests, right? Who collects the tithe in the New Testament? Not law, because it's not under the law. It's under the order of Melchizedek, headed by the high priest who lives forever, Jesus. Jesus says in the one case, the tithe is collected by him who lives forever. Well, if I'm going to make New Testament Jesus, Savior, Lord, King, salvation, grace, love, mercy, all those things, I better throw in tithe because he's the one that collects the tithe. He's the high priest. So that makes the New Testament not law. It makes it grace and favor, right, and love and all those things and mercy. But it's still the tithe. Read it for yourself, chapter 7. In the other case, it's collected by him who lives forever. Who's him? Jesus. Is he still collecting the tithe? Yeah, he sure is. Now, you don't have to do it. There's a lot of things you should do that people don't do. These are things you should do. You know, you don't have to go to church. I've had people say, well, you don't have to go to church and still be saved. Well, why wouldn't a person who's born again want to be with born again people and worship the Lord? But that's beside the point. You don't have to go to church and be saved. But you know what? In the first century, the people who learned from Jesus and Paul and all those, they went to church. I've had people say, well, you don't have to raise your hands when you worship. All right, it's okay if you don't want to do it. But you know what? They did in the early church. Even Paul said, even the Bible says, lift your holy hands in the sanctuary. And so they did. You don't have to speak in tongues. No, you don't have to. But they did. The first century believers did. The ones who learned from Jesus, James, John, Paul. Yep, but they did. And so at the very end of the day, technically, you don't have to tithe. But they did to their high priest, Jesus. So you don't have to do it. You don't have to do any of those things. But if you don't do any of those things, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. Not only just the blessing of blessing God and worshiping and all those things and attending and being in part of the body of Christ, but you're going to miss out on the financial side of the kingdom. And that's why I think they're angry, because people are not wanting to tithe. They're missing out on the blessing side of the kingdom. And now they're angry because, like, well, you just want my money anyway. Is that really it? There's got to be somebody out there that's it. But that's not it. Jesus is not just wanting your money, and he's the one doing the collecting. Well, that's enough truth for you just to munch on for a long, long time and just change your mind. Read Hebrews chapter 7 again and again and again. Do you get it? That this is not the law. Old Testament law tithing, yes, that's gone. But New Testament tithing to the high priest Jesus, who is the collector of it, 10%, not 5, is still valid today. And if you want to get in on the financial blessings of the New Testament, then you want to accept the word of God. And now you can push that other guy who said it's a lie someplace else, because that's the one that was telling the lie. He didn't read the New Testament, which he says he believes in. All right. Well, anyway, be sure now would be a great time, you know, to give, donate. I'm going to give something. I'm going to donate. I'm going to start tithing to my church or to the People of God Ministries or whatever, because that's still valid. Because you got to give to God what belongs to God. And something belongs to God, right? So you might want to go there online, More Faith, More Life, or go there and check out the bookstore, the books we have. I've mentioned them a number of times, the CD and all that kind of stuff. We'll be getting some more stuff out to you later, probably. But get some stuff, get caught up on this kind of teaching, this kind of preaching that's eye-opening, says, I never knew that was there. But it is, and it's the truth. Till next time, bye-bye.